Attention musicians, do you want to hear your music on vinyl but just can't afford the 100 minimum that most vinyl cutting houses require? Well, you might want to do a short run, maybe 1 to 50, and Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on the How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get to their page, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. That's right. Promo code HDIGH gets you 10% off. That's Austin Signal, gang. Go get some vinyl. Let's get down. Hey, gang, are you in a band in Austin and you're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and a friendly and courteous staff there to help you. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week, whatever it is you've been doing this week. I myself, I've had a good week. I had a birthday on Monday. It was good. I am going to go ahead and announce, because it's been announced on the Facebook and everything, I have made a lady friend in a relationship situation, which has been good. She doesn't live in Austin, but she came into town for my birthday, and we had a really good time. Had lunch with my friend Gabe. Went to dinner with my cousin Emily, hung out, I bought a wig, an Aussie wig, pretty good, because I'm going to be Aussie for Halloween, it's going to be great. Yeah, I'm doing a Jeff Plankenhorn's Plankenstein Halloween, or whatever it is it's called, at 1-to-1 Bar on Halloween night. A lot of special guest singers, it's a spooky night, and I'm going to get up and do a Black Sabbath number as Ozzy Osbourne from like 1972. Okay, yeah, I'm having something special made for it and everything. I'm not joking around, gang. I'm being serious when I'm saying this. Other than that, did some podcasts. If you live in Pflugerville tonight, Friday, October 18th, Skyrocket will be playing at Hanover's. Should be a good show. Tomorrow night, we're heading out to the Woodlands to do a show there. And yeah, just doing Skyrocket stuff, playing shows. I've got my own shows coming up. I'll tell you about them as they unfold. But gang, I have a great show for you today. Sloan and Felix Lenz from the band Lord Friday the 13th are my guests. Their new single, Big Mac, is available now. It's available on SoundCloud. They do not have a website, but you can find them on Instagram and, of course, on SoundCloud. So get out there, check out this song, Big Mac. You'll hear it on here. They also have a video for it on YouTube. But my friend Einar and my friend Frenchie started playing with these guys. My friend Einar's bass player with the Fray and all these kind of people, but he is the drummer of Lord Friday the 13th from time to time. And my friend Frenchie Smith is the bass player. And Sloan and Felix pretty much just kind of started doing this a few months ago and have really kind of taken it by storm, because they go all the way, man. It's like glam punk music, all right? They're brother and sister. They grew up in a small town. Their mom, Catherine, was here with them, and she ended up taking some really pretty pictures. I will put them in our Facebook page. Don't forget to like How Did I Get Here on Facebook. But I have a great conversation with Sloan and Felix. There's one thing I do have to say. We talked about this show that they're going to be doing at the Mohawk in November, but that show is no longer happening. So go to Instagram, follow them there. You'll find out when they're playing. You'll see photos of them. You can see live videos of them. They're absolutely fucking fantastic. I'm not joking. Check out Big Mac on SoundCloud or on YouTube. And yeah, I hope you guys have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. If you do live in Pflugerville, come on out and see the Skyrocket tonight at Hanover's. It's always a good time. We go on about 9, all right? All right, gang, enjoy my conversation with Sloan and Felix Lenz, Lord Friday the 13th. Let's get down.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's. This is Coke Hill. What can I get you today?
I want a Big Mac and a side of McFries. I want a
Are you going to hear from McDonald's at some point for that song?
Probably, yes. I'm fully prepared to hear from McDonald's at any point, and I'll probably just change the spelling or just pull it all together, write new words.
How close is the da-da-da-da-da melody?
It's exactly it. Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And I'm loving it is also trademarked, but... We're just going to ride it.
There's something about the guy in that video singing that doesn't really care.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's almost like a, hey, McDonald's.
Come at me. Yeah,
exactly. A vibe to it.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the only thing you guys have available?
Yeah, we're about to release another song.
Mm-hmm, called Sally Wants a Salad. we're very into food.
As simple as it sounds.
It's a very simple song.
I think we'll release at some point later in the month. Yeah, because we're filming a video for that with Jackie Young in a few weeks. And then we'll release that all together.
Yeah, so we'll have a little two-track EP kind of thing out at that point, and then... we're working right now on getting the details figured out on
recording
a real something to listen to.
Are you gonna do it with Frenchie?
I don't know at this
point. You're sometimes bass player.
Yeah, I mean Frenchie's fantastic.
Yeah,
we're
looking at there's a lot of different options right now, so we're kind of just weighing everything, seeing what feels right. The friends that we recorded with on Big Mac and Sally Wants a Salad on these demos, they live in Ireland.
We just recorded it in their bedroom. So
yeah,
we might, because they're so fantastic, just go back to Ireland at some point in the near future and record
hammer
those.
Out an album in a couple days. They're incredible and they're like family basically to us. And so the vibe was just really great there, and I feel like that would be a really special place to do it. So.
Yeah, but I'm open to any option.
We're weighing a lot of different things right now.
The most easy, but also just like whatever flows the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig that. And you've got a rotating band when you play live.
Yes. At this point,
the aforementioned Frenchie and my dear friend Einar.
Yes. Einar has become kind of our
go-to
drummer for sure, and almost a semi-permanent member. He has a very well-decorated drum kit that he did himself I am very in love with. So
plus he's just amazing anyway.
Yeah.
There was one show where he was out of state, and we had our friend Josh Bickley from Calliope Musicals
sit in with us
on the drums, and he was great
too. Oh, yeah, I love Josh.
It's fun because it's obviously it's also new to us, but then also playing with different people often is like such a learning experience, and just seeing how different people flow with everything.
Well, and everybody puts their own spin on it, which is cool.
It's just so funny, like the people that you have playing with you are fucking badasses.
They're all fantastic. I mean, I'm very grateful. Yeah.
I'm super grateful.
You guys have been a band since March, and you got like, I mean, he's the bass player in the fray, but I mean, that's a pretty famous band.
No, I mean, he is fantastic.
He's incredible. I feel so thankful.
Yeah, we actually met Einar through Frenchie because we had a show coming up, and we like have a band. So we were like, Frenchie, is there any way you could play the bass for us? And he agreed.
Graciously
and then we were like,
agreed.
Do you know any drummers that would be good? And luckily we got Einar because he is fantastic.
Can I tell you what Einar told me?
Yes.
He was like, so Frenchie calls me and he goes, hey man, we're playing with this band. You're playing drums. And Einar goes, what's a gig? He goes, we're wearing capes. And Einar was like, I'm in.
That's Einar's vampire heritage coming through.
The capes amazing. are selling
I feel like
point
that is the clincher for
it's
a
like,
lot
you
of
you get to wear a cape. So, yeah,
that's how we entice people to
that's
be
that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now John from Sweet Spirit is playing bass for us
and
he's
is
incredible
awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just kind of because
but with
everyone's
each show,
schedules.
Yeah, we just see who's available. If our usual people aren't available, then we reach out to a thousand other people and whoever says yes.
Yeah, the universe kind of decides who will be our band for the night. So
but I like it. It's fun at this point.
Yeah.
It keeps it feeling very new every time, which keeps that fear.
Was that John? There's a video on Instagram where Einar is playing drums and John's playing bass.
Bass. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Was that at Vegas?
It looked like it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was John.
That was cool.
He's awesome.
He's incredible. We had like one rehearsal
he
with him and he
such
learned
a fast learner.
Everything in an hour. Like how do you do that?
Which our songs are like extremely simple
they are
too.
Very simple. Because
I've only heard a couple of songs, but I was gonna say it's not like
basic.
Learning like yes or something.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we're like we're beginner musicians, I would say. Yeah. So we are having to work within that.
Within our confines of what we ourselves can even do. So yeah.
I mean I've been doing it for a long time, but it's not hard to learn my songs is what I mean.
right.
Sometimes that's the best way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, what happens the more you guys learn and all of a sudden you're like, you think you have to add all this complexity to your stuff and it stops being super cool.
And I never want to overthink anything about it.
Yeah.
And we're trying to kind of come at it all with almost like an ironic tilt to where I never take it too seriously. I don't ever think anything about it.
Yeah.
And then
we never want it to not be fun.
Yeah.
You know? Like, obviously, it is work and it is a job as well, but like, we never want it to be this thing that's like a burden.
I just don't want it to get boring to us or to people who watch the shows, because I think if it got boring to us, it would be boring to watch.
Definitely.
So you're like you're an art band.
I would
that's
say
what
we're
art
much
bands
closer
are.
To
yeah.
an art
yeah.
band
than a rock and roll band.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I understand that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys fans of like all the people? Like Roxy Music and
Velvet Underground, I would say, are kind of a big inspiration to us.
Yeah.
Definitely. I love any band that takes an aesthetic to a really far level. I love how you know, Jack White with the White Stripes, everything
very
so stylized,
so within these confines of like, we have to dress a certain way, it has to be within this certain, we can only play guitar and drums, and like, you know, it's really, I don't know, I really admire that, and just people that really take you into their universe when you listen to their music. So.
Well, yeah, and I think putting a box on it weirdly helps me be more creative, like to work within limitations, because otherwise I'll just go all over the place with my mind. And if I'm like, this is what we do, these are the chords we know, like, and I need to do stuff within that.
Yeah.
I feel like it makes me be a little more resourceful and keeps me on like a linear path instead of like all over the place.
And that's a lot more of an artistic approach than a music approach.
True.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, So you guys are visual artists as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I make clothes. Like, I'm a designer.
You make the capes.
Well, actually, the capes are all thrifted. There was one cape that you painted on, but that one went mysteriously missing.
It's a big deal.
After, our third show. So.
Was it
Einar's?
It was, yeah. It was a good one.
It was John's, actually.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah,
okay. John's. Was it Einar's for the first show?
I think it might have been, but it was too long or something. So then it graduated to the bassist.
Yeah.
But, it went missing.
I mean, he'd steal that cape. Against Einar, but.
We've already grilled the entire band and nobody has it. But so Sloan makes clothes.
Yeah.
And then I have been drawing pretty much my whole life. And so I do like graphic work for people and posters for shows and
animations,
whatnot. Yeah. I do animation now only for myself because I drove myself crazy doing it for other people just because it's so time consuming. But so that's something we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make music videos. We used to make more music videos for people when we had more time to devote to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a big part of
as a team.
I edit mostly. You do like special effects, things like
and
that.
The fonts, filming.
We both film, and then that way we get two angles and two different points of view. And I would say our approach to filmmaking was very
guerrilla.
It was very just kind of off the cuff, and but it. I think it produced some really fun videos.
Yeah, they were definitely more on the avant-garde side. But definitely. That's kind of with anything we do.
It's going to be on the avant-garde side.
Super, I don't know what the word would be, polished.
Yeah, like we made our video for Big Mac. And like I shot that on my phone and Felix danced. And in an hour we like had a video.
Yeah,
so.
And it's obviously not like...
Yeah, but I don't think
it's CinemaScope.
Yeah, I think sometimes overproducing things takes the fun out of it anyway. So. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
Did you guys, so there's like a DIY sort of like punk rock ethic to what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
But still at the same time, the glam.
Yeah, yeah, it is kind of becoming a weird blend of glam and punk simultaneously.
Yeah, it's like
kind of dirty glam.
Dollar store glam.
Yeah.
Of like, what can we do for like $3 and make this like make look it sparkly, really sparkly
and furry and like, yeah.
Do you guys are New York Dolls fans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Big definitely. Time. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Sloan actually had a past life progression that was very interesting.
Yeah. Once a friend did my past life regression. He's, like, trained to do all of that. And, yeah, and he told me I was Johnny Thunders in my past life.
Really?
Which,
believe what you will, but that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting. So I was like, okay, I'll take that. the New York Dolls are, like,
massive inspiration. Ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I had a big, a magical experience.
Oh, yeah?
I was with my friends, and I was visiting them in Hoboken, New Jersey, mm-hmm. and we were about to take the PATH train into the city and to meet Spencer. And this was like 13 years ago, and they were like, oh, we should cut across this street because the Hoboken Street Festival, like Pecan Street Festival, mm-hmm. like the Hoboken whatever festival is happening. And I was like, well, let's cut across and, you know, it'd be cool to mm-hmm. kind of see it. So mm-hmm. I go walking across it. Right when we entered the main area, we were in front of a stage with the band. They were like, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Dolls.
Oh,
and I was
wow.
like, wait a minute. We're not going anywhere for
fantastic.
A while.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And got to see them. And then another time I was walking through the convention center at South by Southwest and I was getting on the escalator.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this dude next to me and I was like, Sylvain?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And I was like, can I get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, but don't take all day. I don't got a lot of time.
Oh.
It was great.
Yeah, we saw Sylvain play at Hotel
ago.
Vegas.
Yeah. I remember when he did that.
That had to have been at least four years ago
probably.
Now, I think.
Yeah,
it
was a
while
back.
So cool.
So cool. Yeah. And then we got to see David Johansen once.
Oh, right.
At
was that the Lou Reed,
tribute
in New York?
Yeah, yeah. And that was really magical. But
that was
never,
just on the street too.
Yeah,
right?
Never gotten to see a full New York Dolls kind of thing.
Right.
But
this was 2006.
Yeah.
This
right.
Was like so Sylvain and David.
The newer incarnation.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, all right. So, there's a lot I want to ask you. I don't even know where to start. You guys are from here. You're born and raised in Austin.
No. So our mom was born here.
Yeah.
Her father was in politics. His district was out in East Texas.
Athens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Athens, yeah. Texas. So that's where, when mom was like
five or six, yeah.
her family moved out there part-time. Like, obviously, since our grandpa still worked up here, they were always
back and forth.
But then our mom met her dad when she was living in Dallas. They moved out to Athens because their dad wanted the country experience.
He was like, this is such a quaint town.
Yeah,
we, like,
he had never lived in like a small town.
Yeah.
So we were born in Tyler, which is right outside of Athens. But we grew up primarily in Athens.
Yeah, we were back and forth our whole lives.
And anytime we had like a vacation, we always came to
Austin.
Because it was just like, this feels like the right place.
Our dad is a hairdresser and also books music, and so he had a lot of clients here. So for a while when we were really little, we were 2 weeks here, 2 weeks in Athens, back and forth.
But I was literally like an infant at that
Wait,
time.
He did hair and book bands?
Uh-huh.
Wow, who did he book? Like, any bands I would know?
So he would bring a lot of musicians from here out to Athens to play, like, we had this warehouse out there, so, like, Steve Poltz and
Dan Dyer.
Wayne
Colonna.
All those
Susanna
people
Chappelle.
Have been on the show. Susanna Chappelle was my first guest.
That's
amazing.
My God. All of them, they would come out to
Athens. He was always trying to just bring any kind of life and culture to Athens, which was a futile effort.
Did you guys see Steve Pultz?
Oh yeah.
I love Steve. He's wild and fantastic.
Yeah.
There's no, just even like if someone said like, hey, I'm going to take you to see this guy. He's an acoustic guy. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. But like, no. This guy's going to stage dive.
Yeah.
And like, also, you're going to be crying with laughter through most of it.
Totally.
Yeah. And crying from sadness at other times. Yeah. Like, he is truly the whole gamut. Yeah.
He's the best storyteller I've ever witnessed.
I feel like he might be the best live performer I've ever seen in my life.
To make what he does as interesting and exciting as it is a major feat.
Yeah, we grew up in Steve Pultz t-shirts. Like, literally, if you look back through our family photos, one of us is always in a Steve Pultz t-shirt. Because
they were soft and like,
they were the best.
And
they were
amazing.
So soft. And we wore them until they were like holes in them. It's like, that's a funny part of one of the times
he did the show, he got here and like I realized he wasn't going to be able to sit down.
Oh yeah. Watch energy.
And so I grabbed one of my handheld things and I was like, you want to go walk around the lake? And we walked for 5 miles and talked.
Wow.
And that's the whole podcast.
Cool.
That's incredible.
No, he has unbounded energy. I'm truly amazed by him.
So were you guys into music then? Like, you were, like, in what way? Like,
so I used to say I hated music as a whole because I was so overexposed to it. Like, both of our parents were always just like, music. So I became, I guess, just out of natural rebellion or whatever. I was like,
you're like a 7-year-old.
I was always in a bad mood most of my young childhood. So like, that was just
about
my,
what? Just that was your disposition.
Everything,
that was your angle.
Every baby picture of me, I'm scowling and like, I don't know what my problem was. But
yeah, we grew up though in musical theater as well for like 10 years. So we were homeschooled and so the theater was kind of our like outlet to like meet friends and whatever. And so we were always musical in that way.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always loved music. And you've loved your own kind
of
music.
I've liked what I liked, but that was all
what
very
was
different.
It?
I don't know. I mean, I was super into like pop music as a small child because it was so
I think that was
opposite
your rebellion.
Of what, like the whole thing with my parents was all like indie and
small
and
right,
cool
right,
and that.
Right, yeah.
And people, I don't know. I was like, I'm going to gravitate toward this because it's not that, I guess.
I had that same thing. My mom had this whole like I had all the pop songs that I wanted, like that were kind of scoffed at because they were stupid.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's funny because we grew up on like Bjork and U2 and like the White Stripes.
And
like,
I now literally worship Bjork. So I have come around to her.
Yeah. And like my first memory of like listening to a song that I chose was like I was 6 or 7 years old and we were on a road trip. And my dad like gives me his little portable CD player and he's like, pick whatever you want. And I listened to Seven Nation Army on repeat for 5 hours. And so like that was like a really early musical memory for me. But then I remember when I saw Lady Gaga perform for the first time on the VMAs and I was like, this is everything. Like, this is what, you know, but it's like we had been exposed to avant-garde music.
Is that the one where they killed her at the end?
She was wearing like red lace head to toe, like covered her face. It was
paparazzi. Didn't she hang or something?
Probably. I'm trying to remember.
Something
I feel like
happened.
She was on like crutches at one point.
Yeah.
So it's weird. I don't know why that affected me so deeply when it wasn't anything new to us, you know. But I think it was something to be like, I found this on my own.
I think
own.
It just felt like our own thing, even though it was like, this is what literally everybody's
thing.
Listening to. Yeah.
So I was like Jonas Brothers obsessed because I was brainwashed by Disney Channel and like all the things. But at the same time, we always had this alternative. avant-garde
and we've come around more in more recent years.
So what do you think of that new Jonas Brothers record? That's
I haven't been able to get more than halfway through it.
I've tried to listen to it just out of sheer fan power, but it's
Jonacity.
Like it's so not
it's not
I don't know,
we're going to see
I'm
them
just kidding. Oh, you are?
Yeah, my aunt got us tickets so when they come to town in December, and I will probably cry the whole time just because it's like such a big part of my growing up. But the new record, I'm not 100% behind. But
Were you like obsessed with one of the Jonas? Did you have one of the Jonas?
Nick was my, I was like, I'm going to marry Nick. Like, this, this is it. Yeah. then when he got married, it broke my heart.
All of that was the desired effect.
Yeah, it's Disney what they Channel, were. So yeah,
they had a mission accomplished, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny because when they first started playing like Year 3000 on Disney Channel, I was like, I hate this. Why do they keep? And then once you see it the 30th and 40th time, mm-hmm. it was like their first song. It's actually a cover.
It is a cover from a British boy band called Busted, which we didn't realize until our Irish friends told us that.
Recently,
like a few years ago, or but, not even years, a few months ago.
Yeah, it was like their breakout, like introducing the Jonas Brothers. And so I was like, I hate this. And then, like, you know, 40, 50 times after hearing it and watching the music video on Disney Channel, you're like, I love this. I'm obsessed. Oh my gosh. So yeah, that was definitely their plan with it. And I guess my 12-year-old mind fell for it.
Good Jonas discussion.
Yeah.
What else did you gravitate to?
So, I mean, I was very strange musically. I listened to like either video game soundtracks or like weird classical music.
Like, it was bizarre.
It was not real music in any way, shape, or form. It was like soundtracks and things.
That's awesome.
We had these weird MP3 players that we bought at Walmart that I think held like
32 songs.
32 songs. Yeah. So I remember yours. Yeah, it was like really weird. Yeah, like video game music.
I had like one Madonna song, one Bjork song, and then just a bunch of...
What Madonna song?
It was Like a Virgin. Okay. Obviously, because that's what every like 8-year-old boy listens to. Yeah. But,
that was like your go-to karaoke.
What was your Bjork
song,
do you know?
It was Oh So Quiet, which is like the most basic Bjork song, but I love it still.
Yeah.
And then show tunes.
Show tunes were a continuous thread throughout our whole growing up. Yeah. Because of musical theater.
What musicals were you in?
Oh, wow. Gosh. Where to begin? Well, we were in Seussical, Music Man.
All Shook Up, which is like an all Elvis musical.
Ah, but that was fun.
That was really fun.
Cinderella, Snow White, all of the Disney things.
All the classics.
And then...
it was 10 years of 2 shows a year, so I'm trying to think what they all even were. So Annie, like, Get Your Gun.
Classics.
There were just a bunch of them. The theater was like a small community theater, so they had to work with whatever
their
they could
budget.
Get the rights to.
So like Peter Pan.
So it was
like
a lot of like older classic plays, which is cool.
But Music Man's great, man.
I love Music Man. I was Winthrop. And I did a very good lisp, if I do say so.
He had long hair and he wouldn't let any, they would always be like, will you cut your hair for this role? And he'd be like, no. So they like bought this little like ginger wig for him to wear.
It was very
it's like
funny.
Short hair boy wig, and then you had a lisp. It was, theater was kind of our life for a while.
Yeah, and I definitely credit theater with my ability to not care about being on stage. Like, I like it, and I don't have any kind of stage fright or anything anymore.
Yeah.
So, it was helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think theater helped me, too, with whatever.
Yeah.
Because before I was that guy, I was in theater. And even then, I was in theater.
Nice.
But
I was kind of stepping out of theater. I want to control. I found out that a friend of mine was like, you need so much stuff, like, to act.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Plus, you can't just, what are you going to, when you're hanging out by yourself, you're just going to act?
Yeah.
He's like, dude, if you play music, then you'll never be bored.
True.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. We got into
look
doing,
at me now.
Yeah.
I was pretty easily swayed.
We got into doing film a little bit when we were teenagers and, like, being extras and things.
Being
and, like,
an extra is truly awful.
That really taught me, like, I don't want to be on this side of it.
Except money comes in.
Sorry?
Money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of money for not doing very much.
True,
exactly.
Very true. But it's like the most boring.
It's terrible.
Thing
Plus,
you can do.
They they put, like, you don't know what you're supposed to bring until midnight the night before.
Right,
and it's just like, they kind of, for the most part, treat you like you're worthless.
Yeah.
So it kind of showed me, like, I don't want to be on this side of it. If I'm in film, I want to be, like, on the crew side, on the, like, side that has, you know, any control over any of this.
Dude, me and Anar were in this thing, like in this TV show with Jerry O'Connell. I don't know if you know that guy but and we were like in his band, and they had all come to see us, but we were extras. Now we were featured extras because we were
difference.
In his band, but we were extras. But those guys were all talking to us like, oh, we came and saw your band, you guys are all cool, and like Jerry O'Connell's telling us we're cool, the director guy's telling us we're cool. And so we walked up like to the not craft services, but the actual serving line.
Oh,
oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
just with the actors.
Wow.
And like the the PA like came up and was like, no, you guys, there's like a whole thing.
There
like,
is.
You guys can go before the extra extras, but you cannot go up there and eat with like the director.
Yeah.
No, it's very.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
It's very much a hierarchy. With any kind of set and film crew.
Yeah.
Were you in anything anyone would have seen?
I don't know. I played like this, I guess like a thug in an Eric Church music video.
Eric Church is cool. Like a country singer.
But that filmed right outside of Austin.
You got to break a bottle over someone's
head. I was probably like 15.
That's pretty cool.
I wore a hoodie and stole a wallet and broke a candy glass bottle over somebody's head and actually cut his face, which I wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
But that was fun.
Yeah.
That was probably the most notable.
Probably, because you were like kind of, you were featured.
That was more of almost a character. Like that was the closest I've been to a character.
Yeah, everything else, we were like, we were school kids in this movie called Bad Kids Go to Hell.
Yeah, it was based on a comic book
novel. Murderous high school, you know, students or whatever. So we were like at a school dance and in a cafeteria and like whatever, just in school uniforms.
And that
like
was fun, but that was our first thing. So like it was kind of exciting, but then it got so boring after the days went on.
Oh, just sitting around.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. But it was fine.
I mean, yeah.
I'm grateful for that experience. Yeah.
So when did you guys move to Austin?
We moved full-time here...
4 years ago?
4 or 5.
In 2015.
Oh, wow.
October of 2015. So,
okay.
Yeah, four years ago.
That's weird. I feel like we've been here for such a long time.
We kind of started as we got older. Like, we were really involved with the Austin School of Film. And so we were like... TAing for them a little bit and teaching a little bit, so we would spend like a whole summer here and then go back to Athens. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, the move began more in 2014, I guess, but then
we weren't here 100% until
2015, and we were like, we have to be here, like everything's calling us here, we're getting work here, like we need to be here. So we moved into a garage apartment behind... Yeah,
which our grandparents own, thankfully. But it was, like, really abandoned.
Abandoned. And
wait, is your grandpa still alive from the Texas legislature?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, his name's Fred Head. He was in the Dirty 30, which was, like, kind of an extremist group for, like, leftist, teachers' rights and, like... just things being fair.
Liberal. Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Very, he's so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. But the roof came in at the garage apartment
during South By
when we were staying there, and it was like full of asbestos insulation and stuff. So we moved over to this other house.
Redhead, slumlord.
Yeah. Well, you're actually not the first to say that he's a slumlord. So, but yeah, so we moved over to the other little house that he also owns. And it was, like, completely falling apart. So we just set up in one room. Like, we put all our beds in that room.
We had to, like, make it work. It was really a funny year because we used to run this music blog. And we were at South By because I was interviewing Pablo Dylan, who is Bob Dylan's grandson, who is a rapper. And so, yeah.
Obviously.
So it's just really weird because, like, Pablo would call, but then we were staying in this, like, abandoned house, and he'd be like, I'm having this party that Kanye's going to be at.
Yeah,
like, you need to be here.
That was one of the first years in this new, like, weird high and low simultaneous life.
Yeah.
Of, like, we crawl home to, like, our one bedroom that's functional enough to sleep
after
in.
After hanging out with Kanye?
Yeah.
Well,
he actually wasn't there.
I never saw him there. I don't know.
I think Pablo's a liar.
I don't know. But yeah, it was interesting. So I think it really like built her character and made us really thankful.
Yeah, we went through several winters without heat, which obviously this is Texas, but there were nights in the 20s that were rough. And
they were rough. It was like once we started like kind of getting this house alive again, we had to like, you know, get permits and everything. And because we weren't new construction,
we weren't top of the priority list. So it all took a very long
time. They put our permits to like the very end. And so we had to go all winter with no heat before they could redo our electric.
But it was fine. Whatever. There was enough good stuff happening to distract us from that. Yeah. And we weren't even home that often because we were out of town a lot and stuff doing things. But it was just a very interesting dichotomy of like, this is our home. this is our actual
this is
life.
What we're doing. Like, yeah. It's a weird time.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So when did you guys start picking up instruments and deciding to make some music?
When I was like 8, I wanted to play guitar really bad. So my parents got me a guitar teacher, and I took for probably close to a year or something, and then just totally did not stay with it.
And haven't picked it up.
Haven't picked it up since until March.
We've always wanted to have a band. I mean, it was always like, there was so much other stuff taking our time that we couldn't really devote what we needed to start a band.
Yeah. And so I guess November of last year, we were like, okay, we just need to take a week off. And like in this week, we're going to force ourselves to like write an EP just for us, you know, like force, you know, show ourselves we can do this. We can like, we can be a band. Because it got to the point where, like, everywhere we went, people would be like, are you in a band? And we kind of just got tired of saying no.
Well, I wanted to say yes for one thing. But then it was also, like, I could see all these potential opportunities that would be great if we had a band.
Yeah.
So I thought,
friends that, like, book places or, like, needed bands to go on tour with them. And we would always be like, ah, if we could just, like, you know, take off, you know, enough time to, like, get music together, that could be us, whatever.
I like how they're approaching it like there's not any bands that would go on tour with them.
I
would like you to start a band because there's just no bands in Austin that would go on tour with my band.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It was interesting, but
yeah, so we took a week off in November and we like wrote these songs. Only one of them do we still play. The rest
are all very rough and primitive, which I'm okay with, but yeah. I'd rather not have them in the set now.
Yeah. But so we wrote these songs, you know, got it together, and then kind of didn't really do anything with it until March. We had an opportunity to play a show during South By, and it was you had a gallery opening, and they were like, oh, like, y'all should play some music.
We
had
a hefty four song set.
It was
with
our
one cover, even like, even out of the four.
What was the cover?
It was Patti Smith Dancing Barefoot, which we still do as a part of our usual set now.
Yeah, it's
a very butchered version of that song, but I like it.
Yeah, so it was just the two of us, like, I played guitar and you sang, and so we did that, and it was a really sweet experience. Like, so many friends were there, and it was, like, in this hallway at this gallery, and it was, in a way, kind of the most nerve-wracking show
we'll
probably ever
have. It was good for me, because I will never be afraid again, because, like, literally everyone I love and care about who probably 90% are musicians and like very good musicians. We're just standing. We were like, there's no stage.
No.
We're all in full lighting. Like, I'm just looking into their faces, singing to them. And so that got me over anything I had left.
So we did that. And then we were asked to play at Swan Dive the next month or something. And so we did the same kind of thing, just the two of us. I think we had one more song, maybe. Sugar Mountain. Did we do Sugar Mountain?
I don't think we even
one?
Did Sugar Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah. We now also cover Sugar Mountain by Neil Young.
Oh,
yeah.
But
in a very punky way.
Yeah. So then after that show, which was in May, we kind of, again, it just kind of, you know, we got busy with other things. And we went to Ireland in June to visit our friends, and kind of last minute, they were like, hey, like, this could be really fun. We'll like book a show for you guys and we'll be your backing band. And like, let's just, you know, do this thing. They were in a band called The Stripes. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It has a Y in it. They like,
oh, they might have been on the show. I've done a lot of these. Yeah,
they cool. They like toured with the Arctic Monkeys when
maybe
they
not.
Were really young, and really blew up in the UK and Ireland and Japan, and like made it pretty big here as well. Like they sold out shows in New York like last year, but
in LA.
But they were kind of these like child prodigies that everyone was like, oh my god, like they're incredible.
And they're truly fantastic.
They're fantastic.
But they recently dissolved. And are doing their own things now.
Different projects. And so they were, well, Evan, the bassist, and I mean, Evan the drummer. Bassist, and then Becky, Evan's sister, were our backing band. So that was really incredible. It was like our first experience with a band of any kind. So we like sent them over. We like wrote like three more songs like the week before we left, because we were like, we don't have enough music for a set. Like, what are we gonna
do? Yeah, and actually, Big Matt was written in probably an hour.
Yeah.
Which it might be obvious, but I mean, Sally Wants a Salad was written in like 30 minutes.
Yeah. So we like scrambled and got songs together and then like sent them really rough recordings. And then when we got there, they just kind of knew it already. And they're so intuitive.
Truly fantastic. Like, yeah. For that to have been our first experience with a full band, I'm so spoiled.
I know. Because of it. We like got there and then we had like one or like day and a half of rehearsal. Yeah. Before the show at Whelan's in Dublin, and it was just like, wow, we've like been a band forever, and like y'all are like, it was just incredible. It was magic. Yeah. So we like had this show. It was like upstairs at Whelan's. It was at like midnight. There were maybe like 30 or 40 people there, and we find out the next day in like another twist of events that like Metallica's manager was there, which is really funny, and it was just kind of like this random thing. But
well, there were only like 20 or 30 people at the show total.
Yeah, so the fact that it was just like weird. And it's even weirder because
was it Cliff Bernstein?
So
we met his wife.
Is that right? I'm trying to think what her name was. They're from New York. We met like the rest of the team and then like the guy that does their charity work.
Who like lives in California.
Yeah. So I am very bad with names.
I don't know. It was a whole group of people that were like people that are affiliated and then their wives. And
so it was weird because the next day, so like after that show at like 2 a.m. or whatever, our friends drive us to this like little farmhouse in like the country in Ireland, because the next day we have a friend who's in the band Ghost, and they were playing at Slane Castle with Metallica. So she was like, y'all are gonna be in Ireland anyway, like y'all should come to the show, blah blah. So we don't really know much Metallica.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
well versed in the world of Metallica.
But we were like, this is gonna be amazing and we'll get to see her and like it's at this castle, whatever. So we do it. So we're still in the clothes we've been wearing since the day before and for the show.
And at the time I had neon green hair, so I was very recognizable. Nice.
Yeah. So we're like at this castle waiting for Metallica to go on, and this group of people come up and they're like, we were at your show last night at Whelan's. It was incredible, whatever. And we were like, whoa, what are the odds that like someone was there? That's
you're
like
backstage, like hanging out.
Well, we were in
this was just out in like the,
it was like VIP kind of a VIP tent, okay. But it was like pretty, you know, it wasn't
pretty
the it wasn't the 80,000 person field,
but it wasn't behind the stage.
Yeah. So we're like in this area and we're like, whoa, this is so weird. And she was like, my husband works with the band and like y'all are incredible, whatever. And we were like, cool, that's incredible that anyone was there. Then later on in the night, this other group comes up to us and they're like, we were at your show last night at Whelan's. And we're like, whoa, like what are the odds? And they were like, we're with Metallica. Their manager was there. He freaked out over y'all. Like, do y'all have backstage passes for tonight? Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. So they like slapped passes on us, and it was mainly just like a really surreal experience. And
well, it
like
was very validating.
Did you get to meet him?
Yeah, we met. Well, or not Metallica. We
no,
met
because we didn't stay.
Yeah, we our ride was coming at like 9:30.
Yeah,
and also we'd been there literally all day.
We had maybe an hour of sleep at the most, cereal
for dinner and breakfast, and I was just like.
Plus, if we like missed this ride, we would have been like trapped
in Slane, nowhere to stay.
Yeah,
so it was pretty critical that we go.
But we like traded information.
Yeah,
and, like,
we're friends with some of them on Facebook now, the ladies that are affiliated.
Yeah. But it was really, and yeah, like you were saying,
it was just a cool, validating experience that anybody enjoyed that show.
Yeah, and they didn't know that, like, our band was made up of these guys who are so experienced. Like, they just, like, loved the whole thing anyway. So we were like, okay, cool. This is, like, a real thing that, like, people might like and whatever. And so that was crazy. So then we get back to America and we're kind of like,
we don't have a band.
We have no band. But, like, this is incredible. And, like, how are we going to go on? And, like, just kind of, you know, whatever.
So
and,
it took us a while to assemble.
Yeah.
Like, we got back in late June. And then our next show was, like, August 13th. And we went through a lot of other people, like, trying people out that were friends that were all too busy. And
yeah.
So then we got Frenchie and Einar. And that kind of started us in our current
And so since then the shows thankfully have just been like flowing in faster than we can kind of control them, but it's I'm really thankful, and we're just kind of going with the flow of what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should. That's great. And it's good that you guys are a little, like, you're not too stressed out about trying to meet Metallica's manager. I think that right. probably makes you all come off a lot cooler. You know what I mean?
Thank well, you. I mean, yeah. I just feel like the fact that the universe even, like, put us there and then again to, like, run into them. Like, I feel like if we're supposed to be in contact with them again, yeah, it's going to work out. Happens,
but yeah. just, I feel like we got what we needed out of that experience.
Yeah,
just
totally.
As far as, like, believing in what we do at all, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. We've been really, blessed to have, like, a lot of kind of industry interest from, like, really sweet people who have kind of just been, like mentoring us. And... Yeah. Helping us know just kind of like, okay, well maybe this is your next step or maybe like start thinking about this or,
But that's also all very, very recent developments.
Yeah.
So like, it's, we're just going with whatever comes.
Yeah, yeah. The last like 2 months have been like, I can't even recount all that have happened in the last couple of months. So, I'm super thankful. Yeah.
That's good. You guys have a good thing going.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess keep on doing it.
Thank you.
Record a couple more songs.
Yeah. That's our current goal is
write
we have,
and record.
Yeah. We yeah. have a few more songs written that need to be recorded. So we're just trying to
get all that done.
Yeah. Mm. Get the best crew in place and then go from there.
And you guys have some shows coming in November and
we
stuff.
Do. We do.
What's
yeah.
the, you're doing a Friday the 13th at Swan Dive. Is
yeah.
that confirmed?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, we have, the people.
Every Friday the 13th, for all of 2020.
Yeah.
Right?
Starting
Are there
in
a
December.
Lot of them?
There's
two. But
so it'll
I mean,
be
that's all of them. So, yeah.
That is a lot, yeah.
The people at Swan Dive are so sweet. And they were like, we want to offer y'all like every Friday the 13th and just like kind of go crazy and do whatever you want. So,
yeah, Sean, who books there, is so incredibly
incredible.
Nice and cool.
So, we're starting, it'll be December 13th, will be our first one. It'll be like Lord Friday
and
Friends.
And that's of this year.
Yeah, of this year. Yeah. So, it'll be like kind of a Halloween in December kind of a vibe, like a holiday spectacular, but
spooktacular.
We'll yes. Yeah. We'll have some kind of bizarre, I think, as well.
There could
right?
be thing. Yeah. There could be things for sale. There definitely will be four bands, including us and some really
not
special
everybody's
friends.
Booked yet, but it's but gonna get together.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is October. You're doing
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
yeah. 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 So that's going to be really fun. The next one will be in March. I think it's the first day of South By.
Mm.
So that'll be really fun. And then the one after that will be November of 2020. So
yeah.
So that's kind of something in the long run. We have a show October 29th at Mohawk, which
yeah.
will
be fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it'll
that'll be inside.
Our, yeah.
I believe
yeah.
so. It's our first time playing at Mohawk. So
yeah,
I'm
it'll be a Halloween. Yeah, Halloween kind of show. We're going to be dressed as Lux and Poison Ivy from the Cramps. So,
oh, that's good.
An obvious choice.
Obvious choice, yeah.
May not even really look like we have costume time, but we will.
But yeah.
Do people your age even know who the Cramps are?
It depends.
Yeah, that was a
not
good
yeah. Most of them. Yeah, I mean, yeah. depending on who you're talking to, obviously.
Because, I mean, they
yeah.
didn't end up like in... It's not like you hear them on
They're
Bob
like a,
FM.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
You never yeah. hear... You like you never heard them.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless you saw that Erga Music War movie. Do you guys see that?
No.
Oh. They do a set in there.
Really?
Okay.
Songs, yeah.
Cool.
Where he sticks the microphone in his mouth. Like, whoa! And he sticks it in his pants and
yeah.
jumps around. Yeah. It's
classic
wild.
Move.
We may have to watch that.
Definitely.
But yeah,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you go into UT and ask people, I don't think anyone would know. Cause
yeah.
they're all on...
That's interesting, huh?
Their own little UT lifestyle.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. It's weird. Because, like, you're 22. Well, we just turned 22 and 24. And, like, I... feel very lost in like what age range
yeah.
we like fit into because
yeah, yeah.
I feel like very few people our age do we like really have any kind of similarities but mm-hmm. at the same time like there's a lot of old I don't know it's weird but I think it just depends on the crowd you're in and what their references would be.
Right. It doesn't seem like there have been a lot of, I mean, there have been, but they're like Flaming Lips are kind of like an art rock band.
Yeah.
True. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, yeah. And
you know,
somebody,
there's just not a lot of them, though, like there were.
Somebody compared us to early Flaming Lips the
yeah.
other day. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, but no, they take it all the way with their spectacle.
Calliope Musicals is a
very much in the same vein as Flaming Lips. And they're definitely about the whole experience.
Yeah, but also musically, like,
they're fantastic musicians. Incredible. But, like, they also like to make it a whole show.
Which I love. Yeah. It's just so fun every time you go to see them. And
I just feel like if you're going to go see a live show, it should be a show and a spectacle. Unless it's literally like...
Just from the little I've seen from you, you walk the walk, my friend.
Thank you. It's like my favorite thing to prance around on stage, so it's not hard. But I feel like unless you're going to see some like accomplished harpist, it should probably be like an actual experience.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing... I mean, like, I don't like to go see people really play by themselves unless it's... Steve Holtz level.
Well, right. Yeah, some people
thing,
just...
Like a guy's going to kick your ass.
Right. And a lot of people do have the ability to just exude energy.
Yeah,
and,
even just with an acoustic guitar or whatever. So it's not about, like, you know, performing. It's just like an inner...
I don't know. It's whatever comes naturally. If people do what comes naturally, it'll probably read well.
Yeah. Is that how you do that stripped down solo? Do you play acoustic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is acoustic. Very, very, very different from what we normally do. But it's kind of campfire-y and just
Plus, it's kind of like... Yeah, it's like, when do you...
For people who heard Big Mac, like, at the beginning, it's like, there's nothing campfire about what you're doing.
But you would be amazed at how, with a tambourine and an acoustic guitar, it becomes very campfire-y.
Nice. Very campfire. And Felix plays on a couple songs.
I have a little melodeon, which is like...
A little melodica. You mean like a...
You blow in it, and it's... Yeah.
It's somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So I play that when we cover Toxic by Britney Spears.
Oh, nice.
Digging into my childhood love of pop music. But,
We
kind of... I haven't heard that song in a long time.
It's a good one.
It's truly, top-tier Britney Spears.
I would like to add it into our full band set as one of our covers eventually. Once
we just need to take the time to actually teach it to everyone. Yeah. But, yeah, for the acoustic set, we try to cover, like, a very wide range of genres, so it's not boring.
Yeah, okay. We, like, play all our songs, which is, there's, like,
seven or eight
of our own songs.
So that's not a full hour set, because some of them are short, because they read differently with a full band. But, we're going to buff it out with some covers to make it, like... well-rounded and
interesting. Yeah, we play some John Denver, some Led Zeppelin, some Cats, the musical, some Rocky Horror, some Lana Del Rey. It's all over the place.
Full spectrum.
Yeah.
So right now people can only find you on Instagram and on SoundCloud.
Yes. And YouTube.
And YouTube.
Yeah, we don't have...
We're working on it.
Anything on Spotify yet.
Yeah. We should soon, though. Okay. And we'll have a website within the next couple weeks as well.
Yes, we're talking to people about that.
It's all happening so fast. We're like, oh, wow, we need all these things that we didn't have before. Yeah.
And your mom takes those pictures?
She takes a lot of them. Yeah.
Great photographer.
She is a great photographer.
You guys are great subjects, though, too.
Thank you. Yeah. She's incredible. And we have been really, it's been nice to work with a lot of really nice photographers in the last couple months.
Well, and with Sloan having made clothes and still making clothes for such a long time.
Yeah.
Those are kind of connections that were built through that.
Yeah, I know a ton of photographers.
How everything kind of integrates together. Yeah. Anything in the creative field, I feel like, can work.
Yeah, it's all kind of one and the same. And that's how, like, when we kind of first started making music videos, it would just naturally roll into, like...
You can dress them.
Yeah, like, you make clothes and Felix can do the posters. And then it's all the same.
You make posters, Felix?
Mm-hmm.
For other bands too?
Yeah, occasionally. Festivals, whenever people ask.
Is it expensive?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I don't know what other people charge, but it feels cheap.
I don't even know what you do, but I'm asking you right now, will you make a poster for me for November 2nd?
Sure. Just email me the details. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And I can show you some of my other stuff so you can make sure it's
something makes me think it's going to be good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything I'm missing? I really like you guys, man.
Oh,
yeah.
thank you. No, you're incredibly nice.
This is great. I cannot even begin to tell you how much Einar talks about you guys.
Aww,
like, there isn't like a... You can't... Yeah, he just brings it up.
Aww, like, that makes me so happy.
Yeah,
I'm always playing with you guys. Worried that like people aren't having fun.
Well, one
of
my biggest concerns is making sure our bandmates actually enjoy it. Because I don't ever want to make anyone feel like they're being forced to do it. You know?
Yeah,
right. I know Frenchie. I haven't talked to Frenchie about it, but I know Frenchie well enough. No, to know that he probably enjoys it a lot.
Yeah.
But I can tell you firsthand because of the number of times Einar has said, I love playing with them. It's so awesome, dude. dude, man, you got to see him, man. It's amazing.
Aww, thank you. That means so a lot. Sweet. Yeah. No, that's incredible. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. We will have a couple shows in late November and some out-of-state stuff in November that is percolating right now. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so there'll be chances to catch us.
What is the name, before we go real quick?
Yeah.
Of our band?
Yeah.
So we're Lord Friday. No.
Right, why?
Sorry?
We already know the name of it. Yeah, okay. What is the name?
So, basically...
yeah.
What is the name?
What do you guys call, by the way?
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Okay, so I watched a lot of Mr. Rogers as a kid.
Okay.
Oh, and there's a puppet on Mr. Rogers called King Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
So we were like, I love that. Let's go with that. And that's already a band, so we decided to be Lord Friday.
We're Lord Friday. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I feel like it's really grown into this, like...
It's its own thing, and I almost...
It's very cool.
I feel like I'm possessed by Lord Friday.
This is what I think is that people would think you were. You know, like Alice Cooper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are the embodiment of Lord Friday.
You know what the best of those is? My aunt is convinced that Led Zeppelin, that's Robert Plant's name.
Oh!
She'll go like, oh, Led, he's crazy.
I love that.
That's incredible. Amazing.
I never correct her because I enjoy her saying it so much. I never want that to go away.
That is amazing. So
hopefully she doesn't listen this far into this episode.
She can never learn the truth.
Yeah, she can't. It's so funny. No. I've actually told a friend of mine, I'm like, watch, I'm going to egg her on. She's going to say it, but don't say anything. Just let it go by. Just know that she does it.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
It's been great having you guys on.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Right, it's so been fun. Very cool.
Thanks for doing the show.
Of course.
Lord Friday the 13th, that is Felix and Sloan Lenz. What a great conversation, man. Those guys are really, really cool. Their single, Big Mac, is available on SoundCloud. So go find them on SoundCloud. You can also follow them on Instagram. They do not have a website, but you can find out when they're playing. Gang, we talked about a show on there. And don't forget, I know I talked about this in the intro, but they talked about doing a show at the Mohawk, which is no longer happening. So go to Instagram, follow them, find out when they're playing next. They are absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed meeting them and getting to talk to them. Also, their mom, Catherine, took some fantastic photos, which are on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Go there, check them out. You will love them. I will love you. They will love you. Let's do a thing. Hey, you got to like our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. If you haven't liked it yet, go there, like it right now, please. And share the podcast. I'll always thank you. Share it with the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod, and I will forever love you. Okay, that's the story, gang. All right, let's hear the rest of this song, Big Mac, from Lord Friday the 13th. I hope you guys all have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing this weekend. I will be jamming. I'll be jamming in at Pflugerville tonight at Hanover's, and tomorrow night Saturday. At that place in the Woodlands, wherever that is. All right, gang, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
I'm loving it. Ba 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 ba.